This is an audio summary for your AIL 80101 course. This episode covers the Week 7 lecture, AI Infrastructure Security Setup and Monitoring, delivered by Dr. Ghazanfar Latif on June 10th. Last week, Latif walked through how to deploy AI workloads, on-prem, cloud, hybrid, and how to estimate and optimize cost. This week is the natural follow-on. Now that you've built and deployed the thing, how do you keep it from being stolen, poisoned, or taken down? The answer is more nuanced than put a firewall on it, and Latif spent the better part of 90 minutes showing you why. He opened with a taxonomy of AI assets, the things actually worth protecting. The list is broader than most people assume. Yes, you have your model, the trained parameters, the weights, the architecture, and you have your data training sets, validation sets, real-time inputs. But you also have your code and libraries like TensorFlow or PyTorch, the deployment environment itself, the processes you use to collect and clean that data, the people involved, and the compliance artifacts, government regulations, organizational policies, performance matrices. All six of those are assets. Compromise any one of them and the whole application is at risk. From there, he laid out the threat landscape in two passes, and here's where you need to listen carefully, because the course fact check flagged this section. Data poisoning means someone manipulates your training data before the model ever sees it. The model learns garbage and you won't immediately know. That one Latif had exactly right, but the next few labels got scrambled. He explained adversarial attacks as someone swapping out your deployed model for a different one without your knowledge. In the security literature, that's actually model tampering, a supply chain attack. An adversarial attack proper means feeding a model carefully crafted inputs that fool it into misclassifying, no server access required. He described model inversion as intercepting and altering your query in transit, changing what is AI to what is cloud computing before it reaches the server. That's really a man-in-the-middle attack, the exact thing HTTPS exists to stop. Model inversion actually means reconstructing sensitive training data by probing a model's outputs, like recovering faces from a face recognition model. Model stealing he framed as copying the deployed model files, picture open, AI's valuation, if ChatGPT's weights leaked publicly, though the classic version in the literature is sneakier. An attacker clones your model just by querying your API and training a copycat on the answers. Prompt injection he described as coaxing a model into revealing confidential training data or its own architecture. Strictly speaking, that's training data extraction, while prompt injection proper means smuggling instructions into the input that override what the model was told to do. And evasion attacks, crafted inputs that force misclassifications, like a loan application tweaked just enough to fool a credit scoring model, that definition he had right. The takeaway? The threats he described are all real, but use the standard names in Project 2, because the threat taxonomy is exactly where a grader who knows the field will look first. The second threat pass added two categories the diagram had missed: insider threats, data scientists, infrastructure engineers, anyone with legitimate access who turns that access against the organization, and distributed denial of service attacks, or DDoS. A DDoS floods your server with junk requests until it can't serve real users. Latif noted this has been a web application problem for 30 or 40 years, and AI infrastructure is just as vulnerable. So what do you do about all of this? Latif organized the defenses into four security layers. Data security starts with encryption at rest. If someone walks out with a hard drive and doesn't have the decryption keys, the data is useless to them. Network security covers data in motion. Firewalls, intrusion detection systems, IDS, virtual private networks, VPNs, secure application programming interfaces, a PIS with rate limiting, and SSL certificates to force HTTPS connections. Endpoint security governs the devices at the edges, laptops, phones, hospital scanners, and calls for antivirus software, multi-factor authentication, and keeping firmware updated. Model security rounds out the four layers. Adversarial training to make models more robust, differential privacy techniques that add calibrated noise to training data so individual records can't be reverse engineered, and continuous monitoring with regular retraining. That last point is interesting. Latif argued that a mandatory retraining schedule, say, every 3 months, is itself a security control, because it automatically replaces any quietly swapped model with a clean one. He closed the theoretical section with a quick look at broader challenges. Cyber threats evolve as fast as AI does. Adding security overhead can hurt performance in latency-sensitive systems, and the field genuinely lacks experts who understand both AI and security at a professional level. Then he offered a 5-step security roadmap. Define objectives and milestones, identify resources and budget constraints, establish measurable success criteria, schedule regular reviews, and run ongoing security awareness training. That last one gets a real-world analog. The same way banks constantly remind customers, "We will never ask for your PIN." AI system operators need to run the same kind of awareness campaigns for their users. On the future trends front, AI-driven security tools are already here. Your bank's fraud detection almost certainly runs a model at the back end. Quantum computing threatens today's public key encryption, one precision worth adding. Symmetric encryption like AES survives with longer keys, and NIST already published post-quantum standards in 2024, and self-healing AI systems, ones that detect, contain, and repair attacks autonomously, are the direction the field is heading. The second half of the lecture was case studies. The first drew on Latif's own client work, securing an AI-powered diagnostic imaging system in a hybrid cloud environment, handling MRI, CT, PET, and X-ray data from multiple hospitals. The threat surface there hits everything on the list: data breaches of sensitive patient records, data poisoning of medical image training sets, adversarial attacks on a live diagnostic model, insider threats from clinical and technical staff, and infrastructure attacks on the cloud servers. The mitigation framework layered encryption and access controls on the data side, adversarial training and differential privacy on the model side, zero trust architecture in the cloud, firewalls, IDS, VPN, and HTTPS on the network, and multi-factor authentication at the endpoints. For monitoring, Latif walked through 4 concrete tools: Splunk for real-time security event analysis, TensorBoard for model performance monitoring, the Elk stack for centralized logging, and Grafana for security dashboards. And he described the incident response sequence: detect the anomaly, isolate the affected system, trace the root cause, retrain or patch, then restore and validate. One correction worth flagging: he described AWS GovCloud as offering HIPAA-compliant EC2 instances located in the US or Canada. In reality, GovCloud is US only, and no server instance is HIPAA-compliant out of the box. AWS services are HIPAA-eligible under a signed business associate agreement, and compliance is something you architect, not something you rent. HIPAA, by the way, is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, the US federal standard for protecting patient data. And for your Ontario-based project, the equivalent residency conversation points at Canada's commercial cloud regions, not GovCloud. The second case study was a departure into SpaceX and Elon Musk's evolving infrastructure play. And Latif framed it explicitly as something he added just days before the lecture, given SpaceX's expected IPO that Friday at a projected $1.7 trillion valuation. The thesis: Musk is assembling an integrated AI infrastructure stack that no one else has. You have xAI and Grok on the model side, the X platform generating training data, Starlink providing global connectivity, Latif said 12,000 satellites. The verified count is closer to 10,000, with filings pointing far higher, and now orbital computing data centers in space. The case for space-based data centers: unlimited solar energy available 24 hours a day, and 1.3 to 1.4 times more efficient than ground-based panels, natural cooling in the near-vacuum cold of orbit, and no land acquisition or territorial energy constraints. Musk's stated ambition is to achieve 1 gigawatt of AI compute capacity in orbit by the end of 2027, with an initial satellite reportedly 60 to 70 meters long already prepared for launch. The math Latif walked through, global electricity production today is around 3.2 terawatts. Current data centers use only 56 gigawatts, but new AI data centers being planned today are targeting 1 to 5 gigawatts per facility, which means even a few hundred of them would demand a full terawatt of new generation capacity, something conventional infrastructure can't easily deliver. The counterarguments are real. Launch costs are steep, hence the IPO, hardware maintenance in orbit is unsolved, radiation hardening is a hard engineering problem, and Musk's 2 to 3 year timeline for cost parity with inland data centers is an aggressive claim. Latif didn't endorse the timeline, but he made clear this is worth watching. The implication being that if it works, every major cloud provider could end up buying compute from SpaceX. That's your week 7 summary. Good luck with the rest of the course.